In this video, we're going to dive into biblical standards for accounting and accountability. And like the rest of this course, this is not going to be exhaustive and really in depth on the details of accounting. So we're not going to talk about, does the Bible say that we should use cash-based accounting or accrual-based accounting, or talking about, you know, how to do balance sheets and things like that. We're going to be, with the rest of the units, we're looking at the biblical themes for this topic, and also what are the biblical standards that we can identify from the scripture that we could take and practically apply in our businesses. First standard here is to define your metrics. So what is a metric? It's how are you doing? It's a measurable number. It's a graph. It's a chart. It's something that is really a barometer, an indicator of how well your organization is doing in a particular area. Proverbs 27 verse 23 says, "Know well the condition of your flocks and pay attention to your herds." So we're talking about an agrarian economy back in these days when the flocks, I mean, this was your business. You had to know well, make sure that everything is accounted for, that all of the sheep are accounted for. Like Jesus talked about how, which of you, if you've got 99 sheep and you lose one, who's not going to go after that one sheep? Of course, you're going to go after that one sheep because you care about 100% of what's going on in your company and you need to be aware of what's happening. And so how do we apply this? I would recommend that you identify the top two or three metrics, the top two or three indicators that drive the success of your company. So in my case, with my book publishing company, I know that there's a certain number of proposals that I need to be sending out to authors on a monthly basis in order to get back the right number of books, and in order to have enough books that I can look at and make sure that we have the right quality and that we have the right quantity of books that we're putting out in a given month. And so the more proposals I send out, I know percentage-wise that I'm going to be converting a certain percentage of those at any given time are going to convert into becoming books that we publish through Highbridge Books. So what are those top two or three metrics that drive the success of your company? And so that's from more of a CEO owner standpoint, but within your department, you have certain key metrics that are going to really be sort of the 80-20 rule of you get 80% of the results from 20% of what you're doing. What is kind of that 20% that is making the biggest difference? I remember when I was in the Air Force, we had a monthly metrics meeting. So there's a squadron of about 500 people, a lot of moving parts. And so in a 1 hour meeting, the commander is going to gauge the health of the entire squadron that he or she is responsible for. And so with each unit, we had seven flights, seven divisions within that squadron. And there were about two or three key metrics for each one of those units. And the commander knew that if one of those numbers was off, that was going to be a big problem going on in that particular unit. And then also establish a reporting frequency. So maybe these are numbers that you look at every month. Certainly your cash flow is one of the most important metrics for your business, if not the most important metric, to make sure that you're able to make payroll, that you're able to pay your vendors, and that you're able to also be able to invest in the things that you need to invest in on a monthly basis. So define your metrics. This is how you can know well the condition of your flocks. So another way of approaching that is, when is taking an inventory of our resources considered a sin, and when is it considered faithful stewardship? So back here on this side, when I'm talking about metrics, somebody's saying, oh yeah, you know, I look at how many website visitors I'm getting every single day. I look at how many podcast downloads I'm getting every single day. How many likes did I get on my posts? And then you're constantly refreshing your browser to see, you know, how many, you know, it really just sort of feeds the ego. So when is taking an inventory of our resources considered a sin, and when is it considered faithful stewardship? And two very interesting scenarios here. Both of them involve one of God's leaders taking a census of his people. In the first instance here, this is when David is taking a census, but it says, then Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. And then Moses takes a census, and it says, and this is God saying, take a census of all the congregation of the sons of Israel, whoever is able to go out to war in Israel. So the activity was the same. They both were taking a census, but one was stewardship and one was vanity. And so David's accounting, David's census was abhorred by God. It was just, I mean, it actually says that Satan was the one who stood up against Israel and inspired David to take the census. Whereas with Moses, this is clearly God saying, take a census. And so Moses' accounting was ordered by God. And so what are the metrics that we need to be tracking? How frequently, how involved and focused on those metrics do we need to be? And, you know, because when we're focused on metrics, we're probably taking our attention away from doing other things that might actually move the needle versus just sitting there watching your money like a hawk, or watching, you know, certain things that might be able to pad your ego. Or the flip side is they might destroy your ego. They might destroy your confidence. They might convince you that, well, we had a bad day today, so our company's going under. And so neither is the approach that God wants us to be taking. But we need to know, what is God? So when you're wanting to know, what are the metrics that I need to be tracking? Ask the Holy Spirit. Don't let Satan be the one to stand up against you and your company and say, why don't you track this? Track it every day. Track it like this, because all that's going to do is cause destruction in your company and in your personal, just emotional, mental well-being. The right way to go about picking your metrics and the reporting frequency is to ask the Holy Spirit. Ask God, God, what do you want? What do you want me to be tracking? What is really most important to you in this business that I need to be concerned about it? Not worried about it, because Jesus made it very clear that we are not to worry, but just let tomorrow take care of itself, but just focus on what's going on today. So there was also a very specific reason why Moses was commanded to take a census, and that was to find out who was able to go out to war in Israel. And so this was at the very beginning of the nation of Israel. And whereas with David, this was peacetime. And so why would he need to number Israel in the midst of peacetime? They weren't necessarily gearing up for any wars or battles or anything. But the bottom line is, regardless of what is happening around your company, the key is to go to the Holy Spirit about, because you might be tracking the wrong, you've been maybe tracking the same metrics for a long time, and it's really not helping your company that much. And then maybe you're tracking the wrong things. Maybe if you'll ask the Holy Spirit, what do we need to be tracking so that we can know well the state of our flocks, he would absolutely tell you that. If any of you lacks wisdom, as the Bible tells us, ask God, he will give it liberally. And also with accountability and accounting, so I kind of lump these two into this unit because they are so closely related. And the advice here is to choose advisors who understand how to make disciples in the marketplace. So the people that you are bringing on to share the business advice for your company, if at all possible, try to make sure that they have this worldview like you and I have, that we understand that God is interested not just in us making a profit, but in us making disciples, and that we are ultimately working for Him, not just working for money. Because, you know, we're all familiar with, you know, one of the top accounting firms that, you know, was cooking the books, and Enron just caused a major collapse of an entire economy. And these are the people that are supposed to be the ones that are checking up on and making sure that these companies are walking in integrity, that things are being reported properly. And so it doesn't necessarily do any good for you to be a person of integrity, but you're bringing in people, advisors, who don't have the same worldview, who just don't really care as much about doing things with integrity. So it says in Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory. And so it really depends on who those counselors are as well. And if you have enough of the good ones, they will drown out the bad ones as well. But because sometimes it's not always so evident who is a person of integrity and who isn't. But the other part of this that is a little more insidious about only bringing in or just not really having enough counselors and advisors for your company, especially if you're an executive and you're the leader, the manager of the company or of your department, is that if you don't have godly advisors, as Larry Burkett says in his book, Business by the Book, which is a classic that I recommend for this course, he says that the difficulty isn't the advice they give, it's the advice they don't give, specifically the lack of spiritual insight. And so when you don't have trusted Christian business advisors, that you can inevitably kind of convince yourself that God just isn't relevant to your business. And that's one of the main reasons why I was led to start this course, build this course, is because I had not really had enough understanding about and really seen that available in the marketplace that God really mattered to business. Not just that your work matters to God. Yes, our work matters to God. I've heard that message a lot. But how does it matter in accounting? How does it matter in marketing? How does God matter in all of these different facets of business? And believe me, there are many ways, as we're seeing in this course, that God is relevant to business. But you might take this course and then months from now, you might forget a lot of it. But if you have that trusted Christian business advisor that is supporting you, that is regularly speaking into your life, speaking into your company, you're going to make sure that your company is in a safe place. And so a diet of business advice and guidance fed primarily by non-Christian thinkers, and there are a lot of very smart business gurus, will condition a person to believe that God is not relevant to his or her business. And you might be thinking, well, you know, where do I find godly Christian business advisors? Well, C12 is one that I recommend. Convene Now. Some of my clients are part of these organizations. FCCI, the Fellowship of Companies for Christ International. There are many great ones, and I'd encourage you to go and get plugged in with one. Maybe not with a big organization like any of these, but with individuals. There are plenty of individuals that they might not be affiliated with one of these larger organizations, but that they are godly business advisors. And I would also say to be vulnerable, because these types of advisors, if you find the good one, Find a good one that it's going to be a safe place where you can be vulnerable about what is really going on in your business, in your department, to make sure that you are being transparent, that you're not having to hide things and just deal with the insecurity that comes along with that and just the fear that comes along. But just knowing that you have another brother, sister in Christ. In fact, there are advisors that focus specifically on praying for companies, praying for you as a leader, manager in your company, and they will intercede for you and actually teach you how to intercede for your company, as well as providing business guidance as well. And the last point here under accounting and accountability is to report honestly. And this goes along with what I just said about being vulnerable. But this is really the story throughout the Bible that we are expected to be honest about what we have. We're expected to be honest when it comes to taxes, when it comes to reporting to investors, when it comes to reporting to supervisors, to subordinates, to clients about what is really going on in the business. And there's a extremely sobering account in Acts chapter 5 verses 1 through 11 of Ananias and Sapphira, who were actually struck down by God because they had not, because they had withheld their possessions from the church, from the family of believers. Again, I'm not just talking about a church building. I'm talking about the family of believers in that particular area, but that they had lied about it and that they had misrepresented what they had. It's not a problem to have a lot of possessions, to be wealthy. That can be a very godly thing when there's the right heart that comes along with that. But the money really just amplifies what is in our heart. The problem was that they were misrepresenting what they had. And Peter says to them, you have not lied just to human beings, but to God. So again, this goes along with Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. So you're not just working for the Lord. Your customer, accountability, the government, as far as the way that you're treating the government and hiding things on your taxes, hiding things in your reporting to investors, not telling your clients what's going on, lying to your customers, things like that. You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. They were actually struck down by God. This is a very sobering thing. This is a very critical matter when it comes to our integrity as people, is to always be transparent, be vulnerable. And really a great starting point is to bring in that advisor who can, and I just met with a group of advisors just yesterday. We meet over Skype and talk about things that are happening in our businesses. And so you need that in your life as a business professional. And this also relates to taxes. Jesus said to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. And so Jesus in that context is talking about taxes. And I'm sure there's deeper theological meaning. In fact, St. Augustine suggested that this is Jesus talking about his body that would be given up to Caesar and crucified under Caesar's command. And that his physical body would then would just be mutilated, but that he would still go back to the Father. That there was that meaning of that was foretelling how he would be given up to the government, and that he would ultimately be crucified, but that he would be raised and power, and now is seated at the right hand of the Father. Romans 13, it tells us a lot more about the way that we are to relate to the governing authorities. And so if you're, you know, part of the Tea Party movement or this libertarian movement, or you just hate the government, you just hate taxes, and believe me, I don't want to pay any more taxes than I need to. But we are still called to be in subjection to the governing authorities. Doesn't mean that we obey the government and everything that they tell us to do, because there is no authority except from God and those which are established by God. But first of all, we are working for God, not for the government, but God uses the government. But whenever the government is telling us to do something that is counter to what the Bible teaches, to what God wants us to do, we certainly have to go with what God is saying. But we still need to be honest about where we are. So just because you don't like taxes doesn't give you the right to hide your revenue or hide expenses and things like that from your taxes. Render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due. And this is just an example, but the point is about reporting honestly. And I'm making an issue about taxes here because there is an alarming percentage of people that have actually admitted in anonymous surveys to defrauding the government in the way that they report on their taxes. And this is a very destructive thing, and is something that when we are living for God, that we are doing business for God, that our aim is to make disciples, to reveal the glory of God. We're not doing God any favors. We're not advancing the Great Commission when we aren't doing it His way. And a critical part of that, as it relates to accounting and accountability, is to report honestly. See you in the next video.